Eamon Malley. Eamon, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Where are we today, Eamon?
Lost. Absolutely politically lost. Without compass. That's basic bottom line. And what has emerged comes as no surprise to me, Frank. What people have not understood within the commentariat, in my opinion, and within unionism broadly is, this is no longer in the nationalist community, called the Catholic Nationalist Republican pro-SDLP community. This is no longer simply a Sinn Féin versus DUP issue. This now is a nationalist issue. This is an issue which has penetrated the hearts and the souls of nationalists right across Northern Ireland. Nationalists who wouldn't have voted in 1,000 years for Sinn Féin. Nationalists for the first time of the pro-peace, absolute peace, who would have nothing to do with Sinn Féin historically for a number of reasons. Number one, they were ashamed of the killing at the hands of the IRA, and they were ashamed of the fact that neighbours were under attack. Those people in a billion years wouldn't have overtly declared themselves nationalists. They're standing up now and they're saying to Arlene Foster and the DUP, we've had enough. We're not taking any more of your domination or attempt to dominate. I hear it everywhere now in middle-class nationalist Catholics saying, we're not going to be second-class citizens. Period. So this thing, as a result of all the utterances within the DUP and during the tenure of Arlene Foster, has now swept like a bushfire within the Catholic nationalist community. And this Irish Language Act, these people don't even speak Irish. I do speak it, as you know, Frank. But it has become the one man, one vote of 50 years ago in the psyche of the Catholic nationalist community.
But Eamon, is it important.
Sorry, let me just finish this point. It's the new 11 plus test in the nationalist psyche for unionism, a test on parity of esteem, equality. That is what's going on here. Nationalists are setting a test for the DUP. Are you serious about rights for all, period? All, period. That's what's going on here.
But is it that important? Is it that important, the way you're describing it? Is it really that important when we don't have a functioning executive as a result of the fallout over it? We've got an educational budget shortfall. We've got the problems in health. We've got the state of the roads. We've Brexit to sort out. We've the daily issues that come when we're not expecting them, like the flooding. We don't have a government. Is an argument over the status of a language, is it that important?
I want to make this point clearly in case it's misunderstood. This demand of the Irish Language Act freestanding is emblematic of where the mind, the psyche of nationalism is. It's got to do with this desire ultimately to be recognised as equals, citizens on all fronts in Northern Ireland. That's up at the heart of it. It's emblematic. It's not the Irish language itself, because most of the people who want this Irish Language Act don't speak Irish. Furthermore, there's a misrepresentation here. There is not a demand for 10% of civil service and for judges and all to speak Irish or to learn Irish. That is not there. Furthermore, Frank, and there's a misunderstanding here. There already has been on the table an offer from the Democratic Unions for legislative provisions for the Irish language. But let me explain this. This is tied into an umbrella situation where a military covenant and a protection of Ulster Scots would come under that banner as well. Now, that's not a freestanding Act na Gaeilge. What the demand for the Act na Gaeilge comes down to this. You heard Gregory Campbell over and over again abusing and insulting people speaking Irish in the Assembly. Just 2 weeks ago, in reference to the Gas Yard Thaler Festival in Derry, he spoke of the Gas Yard Thaler. He said, the Gas Yard failure should be a real bundle of laughs this year. first Marty's photos. Now, that was a reference to a collection of photographs which Martin McGuinness took over a period of years, and they were going on show at an election, I understand. And first he said, first Marty's photos. And he said, don't know if there will be the obligatory warning at start in case those of a nervous disposition are viewing. Now, that's what's being heaped on the Catholic nationalist community regularly. Now, I'm not taking away from some of the utterances of Sinn Féin, like Michelle O'Neill talking, Michelle Gildenew talking about teaching Ireland a lesson, and Martin McGuinness's, Gerry Adams's crude reference to breaking the bees. That's not, I'm not saying that that's tolerant or should be tolerated or anything, but this odium that's regularly being heaped on nationalism is what has damaged the nationalist psyche now, and which has left us precisely where we are today.
Why is it, Eamon, that so many unionists believe that 10% of civil servants are going to have to be fluent in Irish, while so many nationalists believe that is not part of Acna Gaeilge?
Well, you listen, Frank. It's what people are fed on a daily basis. But it's in black and white from Martin and Willer that if there's no push, no demand for 10%. And there's another point here, Frank. Acna Gaeilge is a British civil right. There's a confusion here. It would be compatible with the Language Acts throughout the rest of the UK. And Ian Paisley, in the last interview he did with me, he actually accepted that the rights being demanded, one man, one vote, a right to a job, a housing, he conceded very manfully. They were British civil rights. They weren't anything got to do on the day about a united Ireland. They were British civil rights. And Acna Gaeilge is a British civil right. And what you're going to get, I suspect, after when the dust settles here is, and we go to go back to Westminster rule, you're going to get a slew, I suspect, of legislation which will address same-sex marriage, which will address Acna Gaeilge, and which will address legacy and a bill of rights. So what you're going to get through the back door is the implementation of all of these, I suspect, into legislation at Westminster. And where would that leave the people opposed to the implementation? Now, there's one caveat. If Mrs. May is still so dependent on the Democratic Unionists, will they have any leverage to stop this happening at Westminster? But the potential is there at Westminster, and there will be the capacity, as the MP, Miss Creasy, proved, the change in attitude towards women going to Britain to have abortions carried out. The government now is going to pay for that. The health service in Britain is going to pay for that. So if those motions are forthcoming from the Labour Party, it might be difficult enough to stop these issues being legislated for in the House of Commons, and all of this could disappear like snow from a ditch.
How much influence would Dublin have during direct rule?
Well, this is another thing. It seems I heard Edward Puth there momentarily talking about Dublin wouldn't have any influence, and he doesn't. Dublin has had influence from 1985, from the Anglo-Irish Agreement. That was the very essence of the Anglo-Irish Agreement. Flowing from that, you had the UDR being accompanied by the members of the police and all. Like, that was direct involvement of Dublin. And we are in a new situation now. So potentially, there would be much more involvement of Dublin. So many things are changing now with Brexit and all the rest, and what's going on, or what's going to be going on, or what's not going to be going on. And potentially, there'll even be a closer tie-in between Dublin and Britain and the two British and Irish governments, given the way that things are shaping down. So we're in an absolute melting period here. So I think we are lost, Frank, at this moment in time. And as I said, Sinn Féin are putting on the table this new 11-plus, political 11-plus for the DUP, testing the bona fides on respect and parity of esteem. That's the heart of all this. It's not a Sinn Féin issue. This is a big thing within the nationalist psyche, Frank.
We're not making any progress this morning in relation to Michelle O'Neill speaking in the last half hour, saying that the DUP, that offer of a parallel process was made knowing that Sinn Féin would reject it.
Well, I made the point earlier to you. These legislative provisions for the Irish language already obtained have been on the table. but not for a freestanding act, the Gaeilge Irish Language Act. They were tied in with the military covenant and protection of the Ulster Scots. Now, I am actually very much aspiring and hope that the Ulster Scots, Lang Ullans, will be protected, because I want to get more. I want to get to know more of the Ulster Scots, and I don't want anyone poking fun and derision at the way people speak in North Antrim, and the use of the language and the idiom, which travels from across the water into North Antrim and areas like that. That has to be protected. I'm not against that at all. I respect languages. I love languages, and I respect languages. And I don't like anyone poking fun at any language. I don't want any odium being heaped on people over the use of language, regardless of the language.
Eamon O'Malley, always good to speak to you. Thanks for coming on, Eamon.
Thank you, Frank.
Thank you. Right, this is the Frank Mitchell phone-in. Your opinions are welcome.